Drivers, the ELD mandate is here, but there are still a lot of questions, and here to answer some of those questions is the Vice President of Regulatory Compliance for Omnitrax, Tom Cuthbertson. Tom, welcome. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing great. All right, Tom, let's talk about a couple of things here. Lots of, I guess, questions out there still regarding the ELD mandate, and we'll start with this one. Recent news that the CSA scores won't be impacted until April of 2018. So the question is, should fleets wait? If they don't have an ELD, should they wait until April?
No, that's where I think some confusion came from. So they said that the CSA scores as well as out-of-service criteria wouldn't be levied against a violation until April 1. But what they also said is that if there's no ELD in the vehicle or no ALBRD that's grandfathered in the vehicle as of the compliance date, which as we know is Monday, they would still have fines levied at the discretion of the states. And those fines could just as easily be the cost of what an ELD would be.
Right. That's a great point here, because I think a lot of them are – I guess there's been some resistance or for whatever reason, maybe just the information, Tom. I know that you folks at Omnitrax are on top of this and probably have a pretty good understanding as to what the feedback of the industry has been or the overall sentiment of the industry, I guess, has been. And with this information, I guess the overall advice would be, you know, always to – err on the side of caution. You want to be compliant, but you also want to make sure that you are of course very fluent with this technology. And speaking of which, fleets and drivers with the AOBRDs have until next December, December of 20, I'm sorry, and until December of 2019. Mm-hmm. And so if there are listeners out there, drivers out there that have an AOBRD already installed, what should they be thinking about in terms of, you know, the mandate, I guess, and how it will affect them?
Well, I think the one real key thing here is that if you have an AOBRD, that the driver should be aware they're running an AOBRD and not an ELD. The reason being is when stopped at enforcement, and there's been some good training by enforcement over the last several months, but they still need to know that they are running an AOBRD and not an ELD, where an ELD would have to have an enforcement transfer. They're required anyway on an AOBRD to keep a certificate of compliance with them as well as an enforcement instruction card. So I think it's real key that they understand which one they have, because some of those vendors that have been around for a while that have both AOBRDs and ELDs, the product could be running either. Depends on how the training has taken at a carrier and how they're going to progress forward.
Okay. With those that are new to ELDs, there's going to be a pretty good learning curve here. So let's say I'm a driver. I've got an ELD installed. I'm going to be compliant, but what happens if I get pulled over? What do I do? How do I use it? What happens on the side of the road?
Well, on roadside now, they've added the function for this EROD transfer. It's called Electronic Record of Duty Status Transfer. And carriers have choices to send either web services an email or they have a peer-to-peer transfer. And the driver really needs to know what his product is capable of. Is it going to be a telematics transfer, or is it going to be done with a USB stick or something of that nature? So that when enforcement could possibly pull them over and require the information to be sent to them, the driver knows what the process is. And it's not that difficult of a process. It's, you know, we've implemented very simply to go to an EROD screen and it'll come up and tell you, you know, does the enforcement want web services or email? And then the driver needs to know they're required to put a code in. And I was able to see firsthand a transfer mechanism from a vehicle, because we've tested this quite extensively in our product line, and see them transfer it directly to enforcement standing with the laptop next to the truck. and it took all of about 25 seconds to get to that absolute enforcement officer. And what we've seen was, and I think some comments might have been that this is going to take a roadside stop, you know, and knock a log review down to 10 or 12 minutes or 10 or 15 minutes as opposed to 30 or more minutes. So I think it's a savings for the driver just as well, and to know how to do that.
You know, I'm sure there are plenty of procrastinators out there. I happen to be one myself. So if there are still drivers or operations out there, Tom, that have not purchased the ELD and they're rushing out to get one, there's a ton of vendors on the FMCSA list. How do they choose? Should this be based on price? Should it be based on something that's quick to install? What do they look at?
Well, I think at this point, right, because how close we are, people have to look at something as ease of install, but they really need to make sure that they have a compliant device. And there's a document out on the ATA websites that we wrote in the task force that describes it all on compliance. FMCSA just as well had put out a list on their FAQ ELD page to give a more modified checklist, but a checklist that you would ask a vendor to see how are they compliant and what do they prove that they're compliant. I think you want to look at features as well if you're looking at these things. As, you know, some even owner operators, they may run interstate rules and they run state rules or intrastate rules, may even going into Canada. And, you know, they may want to have a function that, you know, gives them alert when they're running low on hours in any one of those rule sets. Granted, the ELD mandate doesn't require capturing rules and things, but look at a vendor that has some experience and can alert you and help you through that day. I think that's important when you're looking at these things.
So if they did wait until the last minute and they're trying to get their ELD shipped to them or something and it's on its way, let's just say they're not prepared, the ELD's not on board yet, what are your thoughts on that for those operations that are still waiting to put that ELD in?
Well, I think you really need to be expedient as possible. Now, you know, FMCSA has come out with waivers for certain things, but, you know, like rental right now, 90-day waiver. But that doesn't mean that when you're in that short-term rental truck that you aren't required to have an ELD if that rental truck isn't under a change or repair or seasonality. As well, they gave a waiver for agricultural for 90 days. So those two groups have a little bit of a leeway, but anybody else, I would be as expedient as possible to try and get something installed because it's still a potential inspection violation at roadside.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned the agriculture rules, but also personal conveyance comes into play as the FMCSA has released some guidelines for comment on both personal conveyance and agriculture rules. So what should the operators know about this guidance here?
Right. And those two have been posted on the FMCSA webpage. They haven't been in the Federal Register yet. I actually checked just before we got on the show.
Okay.
But what's in them is they're under the agricultural rules, there's more clarity on the 150-mile. It appears that it has some flexibility into how that 150-mile exemption would be applied. So I think it's very critical that drivers and carriers take a look at that. So when it is posted for comment on regulations.gov, that they'll get there and put some meaningful comments in, or maybe they'll like the way it is. Now, in personal conveyance, some changes, and they've talked for a very long time about putting guidance out on that. That's also not in the Federal Register, but you can get a copy on the FMCSA webpage right now under the ELD section. And what they did was give some more clarity there, and they said basically, and I'm paraphrasing here so people need to look at it in more detail, is that where you could start and stop personal conveyance from, how you can do it, and still be laden, because as the previous guidance was, you couldn't be laden at all, meaning under manifest or under load to take personal conveyance. Now there's some suggestions in there that you could possibly be laden And as long as you weren't going in direction to move the load forward, you might be able to use personal convenience. But again, these are up for comment right now.
Okay. All right. We'll keep watching that and more. And we want to thank Omnitrax, by the way, for helping us put all these things together. Our go-to ELD experts. In fact, you can go to eldfacts.com, eldfacts.com. Omnitrax always working above and beyond to make sure that the drivers and operations out there have the best understanding possible of everything surrounding the ELD mandate, which is here. Hard to believe it's here. We've been talking about it for a long time. But Tom Cuthbertson, thank you so much for staying up with us, sharing this information with drivers. I know we're going to stay on this and, of course, into the new year as there may be some changes coming about, but certainly also to help reiterate a lot of these facts to those drivers. Tom, thank you so much. We appreciate it.
Great. Take care. Be safe. Everybody have great holidays.
Red Eye Radio.